Now, if you love TED Talks, Pecha Kucha podcasts, talk radio for that matter, you're probably someone who loves hearing inspiring stories from interesting people, who likes broadening your knowledge, maybe doing a bit of armchair travel. And if you are nodding in recognition, reach for your diary now and make an appointment for next Saturday, the 2nd of November, because you're going to want to be at the Italian Club in Milnerton for Explorex. It's an event that is bringing together 12 celebrated athletes to talk about their various adventures. Amongst others, you're going to hear from someone who has summited Mount Kilimanjaro in a wheelchair, from someone who's ridden 11,000 kilometers on a bicycle through Africa, someone who has circumnavigated South Africa on a motorbike, and a wildlife photographer who freedives with sharks. And you will also hear the incredible story of the young man joining me on the couch today, who is here to give us a little bit of a sneak preview of his talk. His name is Arafat Gadabazi, and we last met him in 2014 when he was still a teenager, I think. He told us how he had fled his home in the DRC and traveled nearly 3,500 kilometers to get to Cape Town in search of a new life. And he found refuge at the Homestead Street Children's Center in the city. And it was there that he learned to swim for the first time in his life. As I told you at the beginning, he's a man who's used to spending time in lots and lots of water, although it almost kiboshed his interview today. I'm so glad you were able to make it to the studios, Arafat. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I should mention that within a year of learning to swim, Arafat had completed his first Robben Island crossing, and he has not stopped swimming since then. Briefly, just remind us the situation of why you left the DRC.
Well, I was born into a war camp. There's been war since I was very small, and the war broke out again in 2012, which led me to flee my country with my two cousins and my sister. And we traveled, four of us, to come here to South Africa to find a new, better life.
Why South Africa? What was it about this country?
Mainly, we came to look for our aunt that stayed here. Okay. And when we arrived in South Africa, we were able to locate her. And she was living in a shelter, a women's shelter. And she didn't have a place to accommodate her. So that's why we ended up in a street children's home called the Homestead.
Okay. Now, how was it that you came to learn to swim at the Homestead?
Well, like, you find a lot of kids from the Homestead, they have little to no aspiration to a better future in life, and the only hope is found through education and the programs that are offered at the Homestead. Mm-hmm. And one of the programs that was very attractive to me was swimming, because when I first went to swim, it was my first time to be at the swimming pool, which made me want to go and do it more and more. Mm-hmm. And that's how I fell in love with swimming.
At the Long Street Baths, just
Street
down the road.
Pool, right?
I mean, within a year, you'd not only learned to swim competently, you'd learned to swim long and hard, and you had finished a Robben Island crossing. It wasn't as easy as it sounds, though, was it?
No, after 11 months of learning how to swim, I did my first attempt, which was not a success because I got hypothermia at the 6-kilometer mark. I had swam 6 kilometers out of the 7.5.
Sure.
And they had to pull me out because I got hypothermia. And 3 weeks later, I was able to go back and complete the swim in 3 hours and 33 minutes.
I mean, talk to us about what went through your head when they said to you, we're pulling you so close to the end, so much of the journey behind you. You've been in that position before of having a long road to finish, but it had to have been heartbreaking.
Mostly, I don't remember the part of them taking me out. All I remember was when I was sitting in a shower, waking up because I passed out, and then I asked, did I complete the swim? And they were like, no, you did not finish the swim, but there's a next time. I felt so disappointed because I wanted to show the boys that I lived with that we can be able to achieve big things in life too, because when you live in a street children's home, you have the idea that being in a street children's home, that's the limit that you have. So me being able to complete the swim, I wanted to show them that we can also be able to do big things in life here.
So that determination probably answers my next question, because it's not easy to find the courage to go back after an experience like that and to do it only 3 weeks later. Were you scared? Were you worried that you were going to fail again?
I was very scared because the first swim, the weather was amazing, and then it changed like Cape Town is always. Mm. And the second time when they told me that the weather is amazing, I was like, yes, it is amazing, but something else might happen. So I was very scared, but I had one condition in my head that I was going to walk myself out of that water with no one taking me out this time. Yeah.
And you did it.
Yeah, and completed the swim.
What an amazing story. Now, you've gone on to do a number of additional Robben Island crossings and other big open water swims, usually with a charity event attached to them. Let's, before we talk about those events, what is it about being in the water that you love so that makes you keep going back and signing up for longer and longer races?
Well, like, the one thing that made me fall in love with swimming was I realized that every time I go in the water, it separates me from all my troubles that I had. I don't have to think about the things that I have to do or what I even have to eat at night. So when I'm in the water, I don't have to think about those things. And that makes me want to spend more time to take a break from the world. Yeah.
Okay, so since then, since we last spoke in 2014, you finished your schooling, you've gone on to train as a web developer, you've started working, you still managed to fit in all the swims, often with charities involved. How do you fit your swimming training in around your work?
I try to do them early in the morning before I go to work. So at 5, I'll be at the gym training, and then I'm in the office at 7, I finish at 4, and when I feel like I need to train after work, then I go and do my training, and then it's sleeping time.
Wow. Okay. There's not a lot of space there for the kind of fun life that many 20-something-year-olds live. I mean, you're a serious guy with serious goals you are trying to achieve.
Yeah, when you have things that you want to achieve or you want to do, you always have to sacrifice some of the things that you spend time on doing. So you have to say what is most important. And most of the time, swimming comes as most important because it helps me help other people as well.
Talk to us a bit about some of the charities that you've supported through your swimming.
Well, like every time I do a swim, I always try and find the charity that does work that is close to my heart. And one of the I've done various charities. I've swum around Cape Point to help raise funds for the kids with cancer. And I've swum around Robben Island to raise funds for Lifeline, where you can call and get someone to talk to when you have problems, because I didn't get that chance. So I felt like if I can be able to create awareness and raise funds for them, people get opportunities to be able to get people to talk to. And Breadline Africa, which is one of the organizations that I'm an ambassador for, they make shipping containers into classrooms. So most of the swims that I do, or the campaigns that I do, I raise funds for them to help them get shipping containers and convert them into classrooms and kitchens and toilets into poor communities.
That's incredible. Arafat, I mean, I have to ask, it's not been an easy time for foreigners living in South Africa. We know as we speak, there are refugees camped at the UN offices asking for help to leave. Have you ever felt worried about your safety here?
Well, it's really... it's like when I look at it, I just feel like sometimes we're ignorant when we do things. Like, for example, here in South Africa, I'm not recognized as a refugee. They've declined my application without any reason for my refugee permit, and I have to go for another interview for me to qualify as a refugee. And I've been waiting since 2014 for me to go for that interview. And when they say with the act, they say it cannot go longer than a year, but it's been almost 4 years now.
Yeah.
So with the things that goes on, I'm like, you have people who are not from South Africa, not only myself, who go into communities and do amazing work. Like, for example, on weekends, I sacrifice my time. I take kids from different communities. I teach them how to swim, and I'm not getting paid to do that. That is me wanting to give back to the community, not that I come from South Africa, that I have to give back to South Africa, but these are things that people do, not because they're from somewhere else.
I mean, as you said, it's a terrible failure of recognition of the contributions that people are making to society. And this legal limbo that you're left in is appalling. Have you ever been physically threatened? Have you ever felt it's not safe for me to stay here?
Not really, only because I spend my time at work swimming, and so I'm not like going around, but there is sometimes where you will sense into someone that they don't like you because you're not from here. It happened to me when I was at the homestead, only because the kids don't know more about, I cannot blame them because they felt like threatened that they're living with foreign kids. But now when I got the homestead, the kids are welcoming. They're fine because they know who I am. So the moment they get to know who you are, not just the title that you're not from here, and then they accept it. But most people don't get to know people who are outside from South Africa. And for me, it's also like, it's so ignorant because only African people, only like foreign nations from Africa, they are the ones who experience most of these threats. But when you come from Europe, US, you don't get to experience this kind of thing. So I don't know if there's something that people don't understand, or if it's the fear of fellow Africans coming to South Africa. I'm not sure.
It is bizarre that the xenophobia is targeted at our nearest neighbors rather than those who are more foreign, if you can put it that way, than them. I take your point. Have you ever been able to go home to the DRC for a visit or anything like that?
You see, that's a problem. I cannot be able to leave the country because of... So when I leave, I won't be able to come back unless I've managed to fix all my documentation and things.
Is anyone helping you with that? Have you got legal representation?
I've got this law firm that is helping me out now. Okay. So hopefully positive things will come out, and they take time to respond and all those kind of things, so it can take about 4 months and all.
Well, we'll be keeping fingers crossed for you. I really hope they're able to help you sort out your status. In the meantime, though, I mean, I'm amazed, given the difficulties you're facing, that you still find the time to carry on doing the teaching, doing the kind of talk you're doing next weekend. And let me just, in closing, tell our listeners a little bit about Explorex. You're one of 12 speakers on the program next weekend. I assume you'll be chatting about what we've been discussing in much more detail. Okay. So, Arafat, as I said, one of 12 speakers. Many of them have actually been on the show before. You've heard Kaylee Mycroft. You've heard the blind scooter guy, Chris Fenter, Liesl van der Vesthuizen, and most recently, Willie Richards was on talking to me about his epic run and cycle across the Western Cape. And you might recall, if you heard that interview, he was doing it in support of an animal charity called Animal Tales. And they are, in fact, the beneficiary of the Explorex event as well. So not only will you enjoy a day full of inspiring talks, you'll be doing so in the knowledge that you are supporting animal sterilization and other animal welfare campaigns. Tickets are available through Web Tickets. They cost 375 Rand, which includes a light lunch at the Italian Club. And for more information, please visit Explorex. It's the letter X, Explorex.co.za. Arafat Gadabazi is one of those 12 speakers. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No,
I hope you don't have to swim home again.
One thing, I'm giving tickets away on my Instagram page on Arafat Swim. So if someone wants to get a free ticket, they can go and check out on Arafat Swim. There are a few tickets that I'm giving away.
Thank you so much for that kind offer. No Arafat problem. Swim on Instagram. Lovely to have you with us today, and good
Thank
luck
you,
to
people.
You.
Thank you for having me.